Yeah, we are in a small place there in Elm City, and we thank the Lord for our small town. I'll never forget, I was going to preach down in a meeting in LaGrange, Georgia for a preacher, and the pastor that was preaching before me, he was trying to set things up. He's supposed to be my friend, but you know how these preachers are sometimes. And he was kind of setting me up a little bit, and he got up and he told the people, he says, I'm just a warm-up preacher. He said, Brother Varnell, that'll be up later. He said, he pastors the largest and fastest growing independent Baptist church in Elm City, North Carolina. Well, we're the only one. He was right. But I didn't feel comfortable about preaching until when I got up. It was a huge church. And when I got up to preach, I just turned around and I said, I just want y'all to know so I'll feel comfortable that my whole church would fit in your choir loft. And now I feel comfortable about preaching to you. And so we're just there in a small town. The Lord's blessed us, have been good to us. And I do want to bring greetings from the folks there at Christ Independent Baptist Church, and I thank them for allowing me to be away and be here tonight. I appreciate Brother Ennis. He's always been a blessing to me, been an encouragement to me and this church. I get an opportunity to be here for the camp meeting, and I just want you to know that we appreciate all that you do. I see the people working here and all the work that goes behind that, and it's a blessing. It's been a time of encouragement to come here and be refreshed in the things of the Lord, and when I come here tonight, a lot of times you would be nervous about coming somewhere, and it was almost like coming home, coming here tonight. So I was excited about being here and thank the Lord for all that He does here in this work. And we appreciate the radio, and I appreciate the opportunity of being able to be on the radio here. That's a real blessing, and always enjoy coming up, working on the Share-a-thon and being a part of that. Looking forward to that coming soon. And Brother Keith has been a blessing, Brother Berger, some of the people I get to work with here. And I'm always bothering Miss Betty. I call her all the time. And she knows my voice so well when I call in now. And we just thank the Lord for your work here and the people here. So it's a real blessing. It's an honor to be in this pulpit. I mean that. I know that Pastor guards this pulpit, and the fact that he would ask me to be here touches my heart in a special way. Thank you, brother. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I've asked the Lord to give me something to help you tonight. I said, Lord, I want to go up to Clayton, and I want to preach in a way that will be a blessing and be a help to the people. I preached one time in a meeting that was supposed to be six different independent Baptist churches coming together for a Thanksgiving service. I thought, how in the world do you get six independent Baptist churches together on anything? And they invited me up to preach for them, and so I went in and preached, and I just had a time. I thought it was real enjoyable, brother. When I got done, half the people wanted me to shake their hand and sign their Bible. The other half just walked out without speaking. And about 6 weeks later, that pastor that was there was no longer there, brother. I said, I don't know about preaching out anymore. It scared me. I asked the Lord to help me. And so I just try to ask the Lord to give me something that'll be a help. I don't want to be a hindrance to you. I want to be a help to you. I want to be an encouragement to you. And this verse is something that stirred my heart. Just one little verse that we're going to look at here in 1 Peter, and you'll know it. Most of you could quote this verse, and I want to use it tonight to try to get my thoughts going and just share some of what I would call, as I preach at home, I call it the overflow. There's no way I can give you what I got when the Lord blessed me with this verse. But tonight, if I can just give you a little overflow, I believe it'll be a blessing to all of us. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's an amazing verse when you stop and think about it. When you begin to meditate on this verse and think about what it's saying, when you think about who He is in this verse, it's an amazing thing to me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get right into the message. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God. Lord, we thank You for this church, for its pastor, for all the people that work so hard here, the people that love You, dear Lord. Now, Lord, as I seek to preach tonight, Lord, I ask You would help me, that You would endue me with Holy Spirit power tonight, that I'd be able to preach the Word in such a way that it would be an encouragement, that it would be a challenge, and it would be a help to this dear church tonight, Lord. Now, bless us and help us, Lord, as only You can do. I ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll say this. I got thinking about this verse, and I thought about how much Jesus cares for me. Just the fact alone that He cares for me is an amazing thing. To realize that He would love somebody like me, it just kind of boils over inside of me. I was reading through this text that I knew so well, and I'd just be honest with you, I got really excited about the fact when it said, casting all our cares. Hey, listen to me. Just because I'm a preacher, We have some cares, don't we, brother? There's some burdens in this world that we have to carry. There's some struggles that every one of us, because we were born into this sinful world that we live in, we were born into this fallen state, we've got some burdens that we've got to carry. And if we're going to make it through this life without coming apart, we need somewhere to cast those burdens. And it's an exciting thing when I read this verse and see what I find there. But I got to thinking about this love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, as we look around the church tonight, we would think about love. And as I look around here, I believe I see people that are loved. Probably most of us here, I can honestly say this, I grew up in a wonderful home with two loving parents that took me to church at an early age, and I was blessed to have a Christian home. And I saw much love growing up. And probably a lot of you in here can say that. Maybe you say, "Preacher, I got saved later in life," but you had a dear mom that loved you so much. You can look back at the days and remember the things that she's done for you. And your dad and the relationship that you had. Or you can think about the husband and wife that you have now and the love that we all have there. There are some tremendous bonds in the midst of those relationships. We think about husband and wife and even how Christ Himself used that comparison to explain His relationship to us, the bride, and that relationship that God ordained through the Bible of husband and wife, and what great love we find in the midst of that. But I just want to tell you tonight that none of those loves will compare with the love that Jesus has for us. With all the love that we can imagine, none of those loves that we can experience in our flesh in this world between one another, none of the relationships that we know can compare to that love and to that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, with those thoughts in mind tonight, I want to preach on this. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Listen, number one, no one ever cared for me like Jesus to favor me with so great a salvation. So great a salvation. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad to be saved. When I begin to think about the benefits of my salvation and how it happened and how it came about, I'm excited about my salvation. It's a wonderful thing, amen? So great a salvation. I thought about that terminology that we find over in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So great salvation. And I begin to think about this. What makes salvation so great? Well, honestly, without giving you any scriptural basis, I just said it's so great because it's mine. Amen? I'm excited about my salvation. It's good to be saved. I can praise the Lord. I said this morning in our church that no matter what happens, if I went home from church and I drove up at my house and I found the fire department there standing over ashes where my house used to be, I could say, praise the Lord, I'm still saved. Amen? Praise the Lord, I'm not going to hell. Praise the Lord, I've got a Savior in heaven that cares about me, and it's good to be saved. Amen? So great a salvation. But I began to think about what makes things great to us in the world today. And I thought about this. Our salvation is so great because of the payment plan. The payment plan. Now, I see a lot of advertisements. Have you seen all these things going on? I don't know if y'all have noticed this or not. It's probably not happening in Clayton, but we're in a little bit of a recession. A little bit of an economic downturn. But I've noticed everywhere I look, I see no payments till 2014. Zero interest. And they've got all these great payment plans that are available. Easy financing and all these things that we see. But I'm going to tell you something. The greatest payment plan that there's ever been is the payment plan of our salvation. Take your Bibles and turn over to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And the Word of God says this. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Now listen to this part. Which He hath purchased with His own blood. Which He hath purchased with His own blood. My salvation was purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to talk about a payment plan? That's an amazing payment plan that we find there. I thought about these verses over in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 and 25. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Hey, I thought about that propitiation, that word substitute. He filled in that payment that I could not make. I had a debt that I could not pay. But the Lord Jesus Christ took care of that debt for me. And He paid the sin debt and He paid for my salvation. My salvation is so great because of the payment plan. And listen, I've never paid an ounce on it. I've never paid a penny on it. Amen. The payment was made for me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works of righteousness we have done. I hadn't done a thing for my salvation. I hadn't made the first payment. And that's what makes it so great. You know, you hear people all the time. I hear preachers say this when they're preaching this. I was down there at so-and-so the other day, and they had this special offer, and my favorite word came up, free. How about salvation? Amen. It's free. It's been paid for. It's all done. As a matter of fact, I went out to eat lunch today in a local restaurant where we go quite often. And the owner there in the restaurant, he knows I'm a pastor and we talk about godly things. As a matter of fact, he came around later and sat with us. But I was going through the line and my wife had ordered the food. And I got my money out to pay. And I got up there and the girl at the register said, this has been taken care of. And the man that owned the restaurant gave me my lunch today. That was free. I got excited. I had a steak coming, brother. I thought it was going to be good when I ordered it. But it was getting better now that I know I didn't have to pay for it. Amen? And I began to think about my salvation. And it just gets sweeter and sweeter realizing that I don't have to pay for it. Amen? Thinking about every day that the debt's been paid. The bill is not going to come for my salvation. Amen? I don't have to be worried about going to the mailbox. I'm as saved as I'll ever be saved. Amen? And it's all been taken care of. I like it when they say it's been taken care of. Amen? You hear all those stories about how when folks get to heaven and they're going to get to the pearly gates and they always meet St. Peter there. You know that's not scriptural, by the way. But we always hear those things. And I thought about this. If I got there and I got to the gate and I stepped up and they were about to ask me anything, I could just say, it's been taken care of. Amen? It's been paid for. The payment plan has been made. My salvation has been paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The most precious thing that we could ever imagine. Nothing could ever compare to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was shed for me and it was shed for you. That's an exciting thing. But listen, not only is our salvation so great because of the payment plan, but our salvation is so great because of the availability of it. The availability of it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? What a blessing. John 7:37, Jesus stood and cried saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst. There's no limitation to it. The availability is outstanding. Isaiah 55:1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye. Hey, I don't know about you, but in my Bible, I've got that part that says, he that hath no money. I've got that underlined, brother. Amen. He that hath no money. What a blessing. We don't have to have money to be saved. Amen. It's not about putting money in the offering plates or paying a penance or any of those things. Salvation is available to everyone. Amen. Are y'all saved tonight? Y'all look a little bit stoned out there. We got to stir you up a little bit. Amen? And we need to be excited about the fact that our salvation is available to all. That's our job. Listen, this salvation that we've got is for kings or paupers. Hey, it's for dope addicts and it's for drunkards and it's for prostitutes. It's for everybody. Amen? This salvation is available to all. Amen? I got to thinking about this. I went to get my flu shot the other day. You know, everybody's scared of the flu now. They wouldn't even give me the pig flu shot. I just had to get the regular one. They told me I wasn't at risk, brother. I'm waiting to get it. I'm going to go back and sue them. But I went to get my flu shot, and I was sitting there, and I was thinking about all these sick people sitting in the waiting room. And, you know, you go down there, and I'm well. I just wanted to get a preventive measure, and I got to sit down with all these folks that are hacking and coughing. And I thought, man, this is worse. I should have stayed home. But I went down to get my flu shot, and I was sitting around in the waiting room. And every now and then, what happens when you're sitting in there waiting? Somebody calls out and they come out and they call a name. And somebody goes back. And I begin to think about it. I said, you know, that's what our churches ought to be like. We ought to just fill them up with sick people. Send sick people. Hey, it's not our job to do the saving, you see. I wasn't there to do any healing. But we just fill it up with all these sick people because the salvation is available to everybody. Bring them all in. Put them on the pews. Let the preacher preach, let the singer sing, and let Jesus call them back, amen? He'll call them down to the altar, and salvation is available to every one of those, amen? What a blessing when we think about our salvation. It's so great because of the availability of it. But listen, it's so great because of the results. It's so great because of the change that comes about. Hey, listen, my people at church know this verse. I use it so much because I believe in it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, listen, when we get saved, this so great salvation that we're talking about, it makes a change in us immediately. Hey, there's something that happens. I know there's growing. Hey, listen, I know there's that process of growing up in the Lord and learning these things. But I think about Saul when he was headed down that Damascus road. And when he met his Savior that day, I can read that verse. And I think from verse 1 to verse 6, it takes about 6 verses. And he says, "What wilt thou have me to do?" That's a change, brother. Hey, this was a man that was going out to persecute Christians. He was going out to kill those that were standing for the cause of Christ. And now he stands before our Lord and he says, "What wilt thou have me to do?" There's a change that takes place inside of us when we get saved. Now, those people that have professed salvation, and it's not for me to judge another soul. Somebody said it like this one time. We're not to judge folks, but we can be fruit inspectors. Amen. And there's a lot of people that are claiming to be saved, and they're living like hell and the devil. They're living like the rest of the world. There's no change in them. I know you guys do it. I knock on doors in my town, and everybody's saved. I don't have any lost people in this town, do you? Every time I knock on the door, I'm saved. Yeah, I got saved back in 1984. Oh, you did? Well, where do you go to church? Oh, we don't go to church. Yeah, we don't go to church. Well, we used to go to church. We don't go anymore. I don't go because of all the hypocrites. I said, well, y'all come to our church. We don't worship hypocrites. We worship Jesus. Amen. Y'all come on in and we'll just worship Jesus a little bit at our place. Amen. But there's a change that comes about when you get saved. You see, we've lost that in the world we live in today. We're living in a society today that we want to have Jesus and have everything else and mix it all in together. And we're living any way we want to today, and there's no change that comes about. But when you get so great a salvation, there will be a change that comes about. Amen. There'll be some. I like that verse in John chapter 9 and verse 25. He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Whereas I was blind, now I see. I got a good preacher friend of mine that got saved when he was on up in years, and he was a little bit wild, and he had long hair about down to his waist, and he told me he went to church on that Sunday, and he had a shirt on. He had this black t-shirt on that said, "On the eighth day, God made Harley Davidson." And he had him a long hair coming down his back, and he had an earring in his ear. He said, and truth be known, he said, my wife probably had marijuana in her pocketbook. He said, we went to church that Sunday and got saved. Amen. He said, but you know, I didn't go home from church that Sunday and cut my hair. He said, I knew something wasn't right. So a lot of things begin to change for us. He says, but you know, nobody ever came to me and said, hey, you need to cut your hair. Nobody ever came to me and started preaching it was a shame for a man to have long. You know, the Bible does say that, by the way. Amen. And I know everybody says this. I got a guy in my church to come up with this all the time. He says, well, preacher, what's long? How do we know what long is? I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, if a guy went into the convenience store, I'm off the outline now. If a guy goes into a convenience store down the road and he robs the convenience store, and he's got hair down on his shoulders about right here, and they go in and the police come in behind him, and they want a description of the man that just robbed the convenience store, what would they say when they got to his hair? He had long hair. If I went in and robbed it, your preacher goes in and robs that same convenience store, how would they describe my hair? He's got short hair. Did we just answer a question that's not debatable anymore? What's long and what's short? We know the answer to those things. Amen. But this is what the man said that had long hair. He said this. He said, in about 3 weeks of going to church and nobody said anything, nobody in the church came to me. He said, but I noticed that all the men there had short hair. And he said, I noticed all those things going on. And he said, and God began to do a work in my heart. And I went and cut. He said, I didn't cut it real short. He said, the first I cut it about right here. He said, man, I thought that was short hair. He said, but it took me a couple of more weeks and I had it up over my ears. You see, when we get saved, there'll be some things that will change in us. And the hair is just an outward thing that we can see, but it's an inward thing that goes on. Our salvation is great because of the results that happen. It changes us. Amen. And listen, I could really put the hammer down and preach right here, but I don't want to bust up anything. Amen. But listen, we can talk about hair and we can talk about dress and all these kind of things. But what amazes me is how many folks that are saved today or professing to be saved and walking around with bad attitudes. Oh, yeah. And I didn't come prepared to preach that tonight. I said, Lord, lay that on me for a reason. I thought about this thing. Can you imagine what it would be like if you were out knocking on doors and witnessing to people and you had just won this new convert to the Lord and you were bringing them into church and discipling them and you had got something at Walmart that just didn't work out and you were going to go back and return it and you got there in the line at the return counter And you know, you get ill by the time you get up there, all that long line of waiting. And then you get up there and they tell you that that's a non-returnable item. That's one item in our store that we don't allow to be returned. Oh, that'll kind of fire you up. You've been waiting in line all this time. You might get a little bit heated. You might get a little bit disturbed. And some of these folks that claim to be saved that have been changed will show a little attitude there. And when you get done, you turn around and look, and there's your new convert standing right behind you. Have we really been changed? Why do we let little things like that ruin our testimony? Hey, we can come in here and preach in the church, and man, we can preach on alcohol and homosexuality and the wrong kind of dress. We can get an amen and a hallelujah. But when we start hitting home on little things like that, it rings our bell a lot of times. Hey, listen, saved folks, we ought to have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness. We ought to have these things if we're saved people. We ought to have that glow of God on us that people can... This is the change that comes about. Amen? And then, listen, I got to move along and give you number two. Just got a few points here. Talking about no one ever cared for me like Jesus to forgive me as such a great sinner. Me as such a great sinner. I think about that verse from over in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. And listen, I'm going to tell you, if that man that said that was the chief, I feel love. I feel love. Hey, listen to me. Do you understand that we're all unworthy of our salvation? None of us deserve what Christ has done for us. Hey, no one ever cared for me like Jesus to save such a wicked sinner as I am. And you may be sitting here and you can say this. You say, look, I grew up in the church. I grew up. I really wasn't that bad. I was sitting on a church pew when I was just a child when I got saved. Listen, I got saved in 1973, and I'm 43 years old tonight. I couldn't have had a whole lot of sin in my life in 1973. I was in Tabernacle Baptist Church in Wilson, North Carolina, under ministry of Dr. Ron Holtz. When I got saved on a Friday night in a revival meeting, I remember it quite well. I'll never forget it. It was the moment that changed my life forever. And I remember that moment. But listen, I was just a wicked sinner as a dope addict that would stagger in here tonight. I was just as wicked as anybody that ever got saved. It took just as much of the blood of Jesus to save me as it did anybody. Hey, it's the same kind of thing. I read this one time, a preacher was, had a doctor's appointment. He was asking his doctor a few questions. He's trying to get something for an example. And he asked the doctor, he said, what is the most poisonous substance known to man? The thing that'll kill a man as quick as anything. And he said, oh, that would be cyanide. He said, that would be cyanide. He said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, how much cyanide would it take to kill a man my size? He said, oh, if we had a bottle of liquid cyanide, he said, all you'd have to do is unscrew the cap and just touch your tongue on the cap. And you die just like that. And then the preacher asked the doctor one more thing. He says, well, what would happen if I drank the whole bottle? He said, you'd die just like that, but why would you drink the whole bottle of just a touch of your tongue? He said, that's what I'm trying to say. It doesn't matter if we just tasted sin or we drank the whole bottle. It's the same result. We're a sinner either way. We're a sinner either way, and we still need the shed blood of Jesus to cleanse us. I love that verse over in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 that says, washed us from our sins. Washed us from our sins. Amen. I'm glad that my sins have been washed away. Now, I know none of you ever have this, but I love to eat. It shows on me sometimes. And when I sit down at the table to eat, I have this thing that kind of rolls out in front of me. And if I drop any food, it catches everything. Nothing gets on the floor. So therefore, I end up with a lot of stains on my shirt. And you can ask my wife, I have become a stain master. I know how to get stains out of anything. I've got every kind of cleaner you can imagine because I don't like to buy new shirts. And I'll clean stains and I'll clean stains. I've had gravy stains on me, pizza stains, spaghetti stains, barbecue chicken sauce. If you can imagine it, I've had it on my white shirt before. And it's amazing what you can get out when you begin to work on those things. But I got to thinking about this. I put all that stain remover on there, and I work on it, and I scrub it, and I do all of those things to that stain. And then I put that shirt in my washing machine, and I turn it on. And it washes, and it does its thing, and it drains, and it takes the water down the pipe, and eventually I go get it out. What's the first thing you're going to do if you've been working on the stain? You're going to pull that shirt out and shake it out and look where the stain was. And it's gone. The stain is gone. And I look down in the washing machine, and I don't see the stain. It's gone, amen? And I got to thinking about, I said, what an amazing thing the Bible is. You know, when that word was inspired and it was put down and it said wash, they were beating them out on a rock by the river, brother. Amen. But I can read that thing today and go look down in my washing machine and the stains are gone. Hallelujah. And I got to thinking about, that's what my sin stains are like. Hey, listen, He doesn't see them anymore. Christ doesn't see those sins anymore. The world may see those sins now. Hey, there may be people that try to hold you up because the devil will lift your sins up before you. Hey, he'll try to say, what are you trying to do something for God for? Why are you trying to reach anybody? Look at who you are. He'll use your sins against you after they've been long forgiven, after your sin stains have been washed away. What a blessing it is when we turn over and read Psalm 103 and verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. That's a shouting verse, amen? He's taken our sins away. I get even excited about that. I know this is nothing new. You probably heard it. But, you know, as far as the east is from the west, we have a north pole and a south pole. They mark the end of the north and the south. Can you tell me what marks the end of the east and the west? There's no marker. Isn't it amazing that our inspired Bible that's infallible, it knows that. And God knew that when He penned that, when He inspired someone to pen that, that there would be no boundary there. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are gone. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, this crowd must not have been very sinful. They're not too excited. I'm excited that my sins are gone. Amen. I'm excited that I've got a Savior that loved me that much. Amen. And I think about that verse over in Psalms 40, there around verses 1 and 3. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Amen. I don't know about you guys. I see a lot of clay when I come up this way. I've come up 42, and I see all those clay banks on the side of the road, so y'all know what I'm talking about. Hey, listen, when you get into clay, that's a problem, isn't it? Around home where I live, you start digging a hole, you're going to bury a post or dig a hole for anything that you're going to do there. In just a little while, you're going to get through that topsoil and you're going to be down to clay. And if you ever get that clay on your foot or on your shovel, can you shake it off? There's no getting that stuff off. It'll stick to you, it'll hang on you, and you can't get rid of that red clay for anything in the world. I have actually tracked some in the house before me, and y'all know what, that's almost divorce. It takes a lot of getting right after that, amen? When you track red clay in the house, it makes for trouble in the home. Hey, listen, that stuff is a mess. And I got thinking about that miry clay. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. That sin in this world will try to stick to you. It'll try to hang on to you. Listen, He brought me up out of that, amen? I've been delivered from that. Out of that horrible pit, I've been delivered. Out of that miry clay, out of those things that stick to us, that cling to us, I've been set free. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen? Hallelujah. I've been saved, and I've been set free from all of these sins that I have to battle in this old world that I live in. Amen? Hey, listen. No one ever cared for me, number three, to furnish me with such great supply. With such great supplies. Now, we all know this verse. People quote it all the time. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, that's a great one, isn't it? You guys, everybody here's probably got it underlined in your Bible. If you're like some folks at the end of the month when you're writing bills, you pull that verse out and you read it with each check. Amen? And you claim it. And you just say, hallelujah, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hey, listen, nobody can make you a promise like that but Jesus. Nobody can. Listen, mama and daddy will say, children, I'll take care of you. I promise you'll never have to do without. We'll make sure you've got everything that you ever need. We'll provide for you. Even when you leave home and you get grown, we'll make sure that life does not fail you. We won't let you end up in bankruptcy. We won't let your home be taken away. We won't let your car. We'll take. But listen, your parents can say that with all their heart, but they can only do that as God allows it. Only as God. They may lose everything they've got. Hey, we don't know. There are people that are broke this year that were not last year. And we don't know that we can do all those things. But listen to me. My Heavenly Father has made me a promise that I can hang on to. He's the only one that can make that promise that'll never have to back up on that thing. I got thinking about, but my God. Now, let me just say this. But my God. That is a claim that is for saved people. If you're lost, you can't say, my God. He is still the God. He's not a God. He is still the God. But that when it says, but my God shall supply, that means he's talking to the saved people. Amen? And so that's something to be excited about our salvation again. When he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. I got to thinking about that. According to his riches in glory. John 1:3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Psalms 50 and verse 10, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Amen? And then it says, according to his riches in glory. Hey, take your Bibles and turn with me. I want you to look at this. Take time to turn there. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I want you to see this. Look in verse 18. I just want you to see something here. You probably won't ever read this to anybody because there's some words in here that are really tricky. But I just want you to see something. According to his riches in glory. Look down at verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. According to his riches in glory. Amen. Hey, there's wonderful things there that we don't even understand what they are. Some of those emeralds or jewels, we don't understand what they are. Man has never laid eyes on some of those things. Hey, I've read behind commentator after commentator, and they say, we don't know. We don't understand. They are the glories of heaven. We understand silver and gold and amethyst and some of those things. And it's amazing when we read that list of the riches of heaven in glory. And he is going to supply all our need according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. Amen. I got news for you. Bill Gates will be broke before I am. Amen. I'm richer than Bill Gates. It may not look like it tonight, but I'll guarantee you that I am. My supply will never run out, but his can run out. My supply is settled in heaven, in the glory. Hey, now I might not receive it till I get home to glory, amen. Hey, but praise God, I've got riches in heaven, amen. And he's promised me that he's going to take care of me. Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, amen. Hey, I believe it was Brother Sattler that used to say this. He said, I'll give you the Sattler version of that verse. He said, I ain't never seen a tithing Christian begging for bread. Amen? Amen? I believe that. Amen? God will take care of his folks. They're righteous. Amen? Then I got to thinking about this. No one ever cared for me like Jesus, number four, to finally come and take me to such a great home. Amen. To finally come. We've read the description of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen. Hey, listen, I got news for you. These tabernacles that we're hanging on to, they're winding down. They got crumbling foundations. Hey, the infrastructure is coming loose all the time. Hey, we got to have pills and doctors and all these things. And this is going to crumble one day. But there is a home in heaven that is awaiting for us. We go over and we read the verse over in John chapter 14. And verse 1, it always starts off, let not your heart be troubled. Amen. Hey, if you ever get a time when your heart's troubled, flip over to this verse that we all know so well. Let not your heart be troubled. He says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're going home to heaven one day. Hey, no one ever cared for me like Jesus to take me home to heaven. Hey, he's going to take me. Heaven is a real place. Hey, it's not just something that we talk about to make us feel better when things are down. It's not just something we talk about when we go to the doctor's office and we get a bad diagnosis. Heaven is a real, literal place. We have the measurements of it right there in the Bible. We've got a description of it. And we've got a God in heaven that cannot lie. And so we know that heaven is a real place. And he's promised it to every one of us. Amen. Nobody ever cared for you like that. Amen. What a blessing to realize what's awaiting us one day when we get home to heaven. I'm just going to tell you this story, and I really didn't have this on my heart, but God's laying it there right now. It's been just a little over a year ago. August made a year that my dad passed away. And my dad had a brain injury. And he was laying there in the hospital, and the doctors had told us that we needed to take him off life support because there was not anything that they could do for his brain swelling. And if we did anything, it would just prolong him in a vegetable state. And they said, we need to take him off this life support and just let him go. We had a family meeting like I hope you never have to have. And we had to make that decision to do that thing. My dad was my best friend in life. He was a member of my church. He lived across the road from me. We went visiting together. We were soul winners together. We prayed together. And we shared so many things together. And I was at that moment in life when I had to make the decision to let him go. And we made that decision. What my dad had always told us, don't you hold me back from heaven if I get a chance to go. He was a godly man. He loved the Lord. And he talked about all the pain and suffering that he was going to trade in one day. But they took him off the life support about 8 o'clock that morning. And he was lying there, and he was breathing some on his own, and he was going through those struggles. And so we were all just gathered around as a family would do, trying to be with our dad. And my mom was there with us, with her husband, trying to be with him until he took that last breath of life. And we were just kind of agonizing over these things. Many times during that time that I was waiting, just waiting for him to go home to glory, I prayed and I'd say, Lord, you just take him. Lord, we know he's going. Lord, you just take him. But it seemed like my dad, being the fighter that he was just hanging on. And I went back over his bed and I opened that Bible up to Revelation chapter 21. And at about 12 o'clock, I began to read that description of heaven. And I said, Daddy, it's waiting for you. It's real. Daddy, you can go. We love you, Daddy, but we're willing to let you go. We'll let you go home. And this is where you're going. And I read that description from the book of Revelation, what heaven was going to be like. At about 1 o'clock, he took his last breath. And he went on to glory. But you know, I had a nurse that showed me something. She was a saved woman, a godly woman that worked there in the hospital. And she said, I was back up there another day, and she said, I got a report that shows from the time you read that scripture around 12 o'clock, everything began to change. Your dad's breathing, but then he began to leave this world from the time you read that scripture. Hey, listen, what a Savior. Hey, no one ever cared for us like Jesus. No one ever cared for us like Jesus to finally come and to take us to such a great home that's waiting for us one day. No one ever cared for us like Jesus. I give you another point here. I got a couple. I'll try to get them all in. No one ever cared for me like Jesus to faithfully deliver me from all my weaknesses. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hey, listen, God calls us to do a task, and He's going to give you the ability to do that task. Hey, nobody else can endue you with that spirit and that power to carry out tasks that you don't think you can do. I remember when God was calling me to preach, and I said, not me, Lord. You don't want me to preach, Lord, not me. I don't want to be a preacher, not me, Lord. And He says, if I've called you to do something, I'll give you the ability to do it. I'll never forget, I was in a meeting somewhere, and a young man came up to me, and he says, I heard you preach about a year ago. And he says, I was in a meeting somewhere, and you preached. And he says, I've been praying for you ever since. And I said, most people that hear me preach are still praying for me, brother. They're wondering if I was called or not, amen. But listen, if God calls you to do a task, then He'll give you something, amen. He'll give you the ability to carry it out and to get the job done. But not only that, He'll deliver us from our weaknesses of temptation and our struggles. And listen, every Christian that's sitting in this room tonight, you know this. You know you've got something that is your weakness. You know you've got something that you battle with. You know you've got something that you struggle with. It's different things for different people. And a lot of people are trying to live a victorious life, but they're saying, I've just got this one thing that I just can't get over. I've got this one sin that I'm just hung up in and I can't put it down. It's got a hold on me and I can't overcome it. But let me tell you, the Bible still says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Hey, no one ever cared for you like Jesus to deliver you from your weaknesses. Hey, listen, I've seen the power of God at work. I've seen God touch those that needed that touch, that nothing else could help them. We had a young lady that was coming to our church from a halfway house. And she had lost her family. She had lost her children. She'd been in jail. She had lost everything she had because of an addiction to crack. She told me all kinds of stories that you couldn't imagine. And matter of fact, we were bringing a van load of girls from the halfway house, and they would tell me all kinds of stories about their addiction. But I'll never forget the day that Deborah got up and walked down the aisle at the invitation time, and she said these words. She came up with tears in her eyes, and she said, "I've tried everything." And she said, "I've been to every program that they've got, and I've never been able to quit. I've never been able to get over it. But God told me this morning that what I needed was the Lord Jesus Christ." And she got glorious saved at an old-fashioned altar that day, and she accepted Christ. And we baptized Deborah. And it wasn't long before she began to be successful, and she began to grow in the things of the Lord. And I remember she got a job because she was doing so well from the halfway house. They helped her get a job. Occasionally she had to work on Sunday. And this is what she'd do. Our members could learn from this, brother. She called me up. She says, "Preacher, I got to work Sunday. Do you think y'all could come by and pick up my tithe? Because I don't want to miss a week." This is a crack addict now. And she said, "I don't want to miss a week, preacher. Can you come by and pick up my tithe?" "Sure we can. I want to do anything I could to encourage," not because we needed her money, but because we loved her and we wanted to encourage her in the things of the Lord. And I wanted her to see the importance of trying to do right. And, you know, it's too easy for us to say, "Oh, I'll do it next week. Oh, I'm just going to miss this Sunday. We'll get right next time." But this girl got saved, and we saw an amazing thing going on inside of her life. She had been able to overcome this thing. And they told her that she wouldn't be able to get her kids back for years because of all the court struggles and the battles and all of these things that went on. Hey, listen, in 6 months, they were relocating her and putting her in her house back with her children because God had got in the midst of it. She had overcome her temptation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, all those drug programs that she had been to, all the things that she had been through, they cared for her, but they didn't care for her like Jesus. They couldn't do for her what Jesus could do for her. And He changed her. Every now and then I get a call from her, and she's still clean. She's still straight. She's still going on for God. Amen. Hey, she told me this the last time that I talked to her. She says, "Listen, I've had a rough life. I've had a bad time. I'm just praying for one thing now, preacher." She says, "I want God to give me a godly man." She says, "I don't want to get tangled up with any man that doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ." Hey, I'm going to tell you something. He can deliver us from our temptations. Hey, listen, I don't understand that thing. I've never been addicted like they've been addicted. I remember Kim was one of those girls, and she told me this. She said, "I remember I would drive my child over to my mom's, and I would drop him off because I was going to go get high. And I would tell him, 'I'll be back in just a little while. Mama's got somewhere she's got to go.'" And she said he'd get out of the car and begin to cry because he knew that Mama would be gone for days. We'd been through this so many times. And she said, "It hurt my heart so bad. But that drug was pulling me and it was dragging my body away. As I drove away and I left my little child standing on the sidewalk because I had to get away before Mama would come out and try to stop me." And she said, "I would smoke that crack pipe when it was broke on the end and the glass was cutting my lips and it was hurting me and my lips were bleeding. But I would keep smoking it because I needed it so bad." But she overcame it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, listen, I don't know what you're battling with tonight. Maybe it's something you're watching on TV that doesn't sound like anything compared to crack, does it? But it's just like that bottle of cyanide. It may still be sin. I don't know what you're battling with. I don't know what the struggle is that you've got. But Jesus cares for you. And He can take care of that battle. He can overcome that struggle. He can get victory over that thing. I love that verse over in Romans that says, "We are more than conquerors." Amen. Hey, listen, I conquered the day that I got saved. But I'm moving on now, and I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. I'm going forward for the glory of God. And I'm growing in my spiritual life, and I'm trying to be more like God every day. He'll deliver us from our own weaknesses. Amen. And my last point, and I'm done. Preacher Ennis told me just so I got done by 12. I'm just kidding. He told me there was no clock in here, so I didn't look at my watch. No one ever cared for me like Jesus to forever get rid of all my suffering. Revelation 21:4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Hey, listen, because He laid His life down for you and me, because He bled on that cross, because He was buried in that tomb, and because He rose again, and because He had victory over death, hell, and the grave, there's going to come a day when I won't need a doctor. And when the funeral homes will be out of business in heaven, you know that? I told somebody one time, I said, there won't be any funeral directors in heaven. You said, you think they're all going to hell? I said, no, when they get there, they just won't be funeral directors anymore. Amen. It's like doctors. And they, would you include lawyers in that same group? I said, I'm not meddling now. That's a doctrinal issue. But, you know, we think about those things and we won't need those things anymore in heaven. We won't need any more pills and we won't need any more potions and wheelchairs and canes and all. What a day that's going to be when Jesus I shall see. Amen? Hey, we've got something to look forward to. No one ever cared for me like Jesus to finally take away all my pain and suffering. We'll never stand beside another casket. We'll never lower another body down into the ground. Amen? What a day that's going to be when we get home to heaven. And we can just celebrate in glory. Amen? What a blessing. Listen, no one ever cared for you like Jesus. Isn't that a precious verse over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I think tonight as we're going to close here, I wonder, what burden are you carrying tonight? What burden is laying heavy on your heart tonight? What burden is on your heart that will keep you awake tonight when you go home? What have you been struggling with? What loved one is lost? What family member of yours is struggling with an addiction problem? What couple tonight is dealing with marriage issues tonight that they could just cast at the feet of our Lord Jesus and He could handle all of that situation? Maybe there's someone here tonight that's lost and they cannot say, but my God, because they've never called out to heaven. You know, the Bible still says, you must be born again. Maybe there's some dear lost sinner here tonight and they say, look, I want to claim all of these promises that you're talking about. I want that relationship with Jesus that you're talking about. Then you ought to come tonight and accept Christ as your Savior. You ought to come and be saved. But church, tonight, what burden are you hanging on to that you just need to leave at the foot of the cross? That you just need to lay at this altar and let God have His way? Isn't salvation great? Hey, listen. God didn't save us just to take us to heaven. He didn't save us just so that we got some hell insurance. He saved us because He loves us. And listen, He cares for you. Tonight, He wants you to come and cast that burden on Him and let Him take it. What is that burden? Is it a sin burden? Is it a physical burden? An emotional burden? What is it that He can handle for you tonight? Let's stand together and pray. I'll ask Brother Ennis if he'd come. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God. And Lord, I thank You for those that have listened so attentively tonight to my rambling. And Lord, I pray You'd use Your honor to Your name. And Lord, I pray You would help those tonight that maybe that are hurting here tonight, those that are struggling here tonight, and they just need a touch from heaven, dear God. Would You help them? Lord, if there's a dear soul here tonight that might be lost and undone, Lord, may they come and get some help tonight and let someone take them a Bible and show how they can claim every one of these promises that we've talked about here tonight. Lord, You help us and meet needs. Lord, encourage Your church tonight, and we thank You and praise You. Lord, I thank You tonight for my salvation. I thank You for the Holy Spirit that I feel dwelling inside of me. We give You praise and honor and glory. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen.